All right, let's take our Bibles tonight, this morning, if you would please, and turn over to Psalm 46. And I want to say a few things before we get started. The minutes we have, the time that we're allotted here, just real quickly. I want to thank this church for praying for us and our family. We mean that from the depths of our heart. There's several men here that I'm friends with, and we certainly appreciate your prayers and thank you for praying for us, preacher. We're thankful for this meeting. We sat here last night, and God helped through the men of God that preached, Brother Gravely, Brother Hill, and even today, the messages were such a help, and I couldn't help but think, you know, as I look at my own life and think about my own self, sometimes I might gravitate more, a little bit more, to one style of preaching or whatever, and try not to do that. But I was sitting here listening to these men of God preach this morning. I thought, boy, I tell you, you know, you'd be wise to sit and either get, I don't know if you still do CDs, it's online, I don't know, amen, tapes or 8-tracks or whatever, but I don't know where we're at half the time anymore with things. But get a copy of that, go back and listen to it. Write those outlines down. Let it change your life. That message, both of them, I'm telling you, I'm not minimizing, I'm not putting one above the other at all. But I was sitting there listening to Brother Ellis, and I said, you know, he wasn't turning cartwheels or hanging off chandeliers, Brother Gravely. I said, if a person, anybody, would put that in shoe leather, you talking about changing somebody's life. And a good name's rather be chosen than great riches. And I tell you, friend, if we could live that out, the spirit of those messages, looking at how big God is and how much He cares for me and you, and then have a Christian life and Christian service like that man of God preached, I tell you, amen, it'll change your life. There's no question about it. And it'll help you. And don't just say it and say, man, that's good preaching. Brother Shepherd prayed right off the bat this morning, God help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Man, you can say it under, you can be in a meeting. I mean, you can make a difference in Amory. Amen. I'm glad to see it's still here. Whenever we left last year, about got blown away. I'm glad it's still here. Thank God. But I just want to say, you can make a difference in your community. You say, I'm older. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, friend. Thank God we need backlogs. I was sitting last night and I was listening to these men preach and thinking about the work of a pastor. And if a man ain't careful, he gets so consumed with trying to gear everything towards the youth that he's liable to forget the old backlogs. He's liable to neglect those that have paid the way and paid the cost. Amen. We got a pretty young church where I'm going to try to preach. I don't know, brother. What are y'all waiting at 12? I just mind God, and I won't preach if the Lord don't want me. I feel like He wants me to. At least give you some verses. But I got to tell you what's in my heart. The church that we started 20 years ago, God started, amen. The church that God started and let me pastor 20 years ago is a mission work at the Victory Baptist Church in Dayton, Tennessee. We got a relatively young church now. And sometimes somebody will come by and they'll say, well, I think it ought to be done this way. I think it ought, and I'm not minimizing their opinion. Let me be clear. But I'm thinking, man, thank God for all those old timers that helped build that building that we sat in. Thank God for those old timers that helped pray everything in. Amen. And do the work and bear the brunt of the load and pay the cost. I said, man, God help us to be balanced in our work and our office as a bishop to not neglect folk. Amen. If they can't come to church no more, we need to go see them. I mean, we need to visit them. We need to pray for them. We need to lift them up to the Lord. God help us. I mean, I'm telling you this morning, neighbor, everybody's important in the work of God. Everybody's important. There is no big I's and little U's. God help us today. Amen. Everybody's important. You can make a difference with these messages. I'm telling this meeting, hey, brother, Rutledge ain't just having this meeting just to fill up his days. I guarantee you. I know what it's like to pastor. I know what it's like, amen, to call a meeting and pray over and fast over and you do the things and all that goes involved. I mean, you know, they could be doing something else, but man, he's trying to help his folks. Amen. Try to take us to another level. Try to help somebody gain some ground before Jesus comes. I'm telling you, oh, God had tools in his hand as Brother Heffington was preaching. Amen. Tools in his hand. God help me. I tell you, this meeting's helped me. Amen. I mean, it's helped me. And I bless the Lord for it. I'm glad I'm here. Thank God. I ain't got to preach. Amen. If I can come in here and sing, worship the Lord, sit back there in the back, thank God, and soak it up a little bit, I said hallelujah. But I appreciate what I've heard. And I'm telling you one thing this morning, neighbor. If you're sitting here lost, the way, amen, to heaven still goes by Calvary. There ain't no doubt about that, man. We ain't going to change on this message. Hey, this Bible ain't changing. God ain't changing. It's still by the way of the cross that we're going home this morning. Psalm 46, would you stand with us just for a moment? Amen. Psalm 46, Lord, help us. Boy, I appreciate what we've heard. Man, it's done my heart good to be here. Y'all men of God don't know how much a help you've been to this old boy. Son, I tell you, I asked my wife lost her dad in 2017. He died. She had a blood clot in 2018. She had hand surgery, carpal tunnel surgery. She went ahead and bit the bullet and done both of them at the same time 1 year. Then she had sepsis, went into sepsis shock and almost died. Y'all was probably praying for us then. Back in 2000, Brother Bryant and him was praying for us. Brother Shepherd was praying for us. I mean, they give her zero hope. I know what it's like to sit in a hospital and a doctor come by and say, if something don't happen, she's not going to be here longer. You listening to me? I'm talking about on life support. Laying there in the tube down her throat, and I'm running back and forth to the chapel trying to pray, trying to cast out devils before I pray because it's a Catholic chapel. Somebody help me out right there. Amen. You got to clear out all the demons before you can even pray in a place like it. I know what it's like to spend day after day in a chapel trying to find God. Then God finally show up. Well, he's there the whole time. But God finally, amen, give me a word to help my heart. I use the word finally, overlook me. But I finally got a word. Amen. My times are in thy hand. Son, I tell you, I've been writing that verse for years. Oh, yes. And had sepsis shock and, I mean, could have died and nothing. Thank God. God let her keep her fingers, let her keep her feet, let her keep her hands. Just a couple years later now, we're dealing with this cancer, just finished up radio. And it ain't about me. I'm just telling you, friend, what I'm preaching on this morning is true. It is factual. It is real. And God is our refuge. Hallelujah. I'm just going to try to talk to you just for a few minutes about it. But we've learned this by experience. God is our refuge. I'm not an authority. I'm much like the man that said, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Son, I've seen God do it over and over and over and over. And I understand one of these days, Brother Gravely, I am going to leave here. She's going to leave here. You're going to leave here. But till then, thank God we can hold on to this fact that God is our refuge. Hallelujah. Bless his good name. I said, hallelujah. He's a good God. And we ought to lift up our voices and give him praise, glory, and honor unto his holy name. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Salah, or Selah, however you want to pronounce it. Ponder on this. Think upon it. One preacher said, what do you think of that? Amen. It's pretty good, ain't it? Verse number 4, there is a river. There is a river. There's a lot of is's in Psalm 46. Hallelujah. The streams whereof. Hey, this thing's not a fairy tale we're doing this morning. There's some young person sitting here on the outside trying to look in, and you think, I wonder if this thing's real. I can assure you it's real. Amen. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. Boy, ain't that a blessing. And that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Verses number 8, his works are acknowledged. I'm glad there's coming a day when wars will be abandoned, and thank God that weapons will be abolished. And I look forward to that good day. There's a brighter day coming, neighbor. Hallelujah. I got here just in time for church because I was taking a phone call from one of the neighbors. I live on the road, lives down the road past me. Her brother fell this week. And when he fell, he hit something that cut his throat and he bled out. And I was sitting there thinking about that, and she called me. They called and want me to pray with them on the phone and talk to them. I don't pastor them, but they're neighbors, and I've been there and prayed with them and witnessed to them and tried to talk to them. And they prayed, called this morning, said, would you pray with us? And while they were singing that song, I said, I'm sure I'm glad for that great consummation day when everything's said and done and all tears are wiped away. It's going to be glory, friend. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, he said, be still in verse number 10 and know that I am God. I will be exalted. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Thank you. And go ahead and be seated. Father, as we bow just for a moment for prayer, please help us to say what needs to be said. Help us to leave off anything that's useless. God, help us not to ramble. And help us, God, I pray, to be a help to your children. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all the help you've given us. God, you have been that God of all comfort. Lord, we love you and thank you, dear God, for all that you do for us and all that you've done and for who you are. Have your way now, I pray, in Jesus' name, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Just three simple thoughts. I'll get out of the way. Praise God, and we'll go eat. And I thought about this word, trouble, as you look over here in this first verse. And can I submit to you this morning, we know that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And I look at this verse in verse 1 of Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, it'd be a blessing this morning if we could delegate our troubles, but you and I are not afforded that privilege. Hey, man, man's born of a woman's few days full of trouble. Well, you're going to have trouble. The troubles are somewhere looming down the road in your life. But I've got good news for you this morning. No matter if you're having financial trouble, no matter if you have emotional trouble, spiritual trouble, family trouble, no matter what those troubles are, God is still our refuge. And I say, hallelujah that we have a refuge. Now, he said this word trouble, and this word trouble just simply means this. It means in a tight place. It means in a tight place. And I can assure you, friend, that through life, you're going to find that we do experience tight places in our life. I mean, tight quarters that God puts us in. I thought about the Apostle Paul in Acts 28 or 27 there. He's caught up in the storm, Euroclodon. It's there that he's not seen the sun and days and stars and moon and all the things that he's experiencing. The ship crashes. You know the story. The forefront of it sticks fast. The hinder part is broken. Some get to the shore on boards and some swim and some come in on broken pieces, but they all make it in. But they scarcely get there, and then the heathen have a fire and Paul's gathering sticks. He wasn't too good to get his hands dirty. He didn't say, well, I'm the preacher and I ought to be exempt from out here working. No, he's being a good example. Hallelujah. When God put it in our heart to start Mount Zion Baptist Church years ago, hey, man, I didn't know you were supposed to go on deputation to start a church. Is anybody out there? Nobody ever gave me a memo that you're supposed to quit your job and to start a church. Does anybody listen?
to do God's work. But God gave me, He gave me a good job, Brother Jamie. Thank God that I didn't have that. My hours wasn't too bad. I worked 4 days a week. They paid us for 40 hours. And God just opened the doors and we could witness, we could visit, we could do what we needed to. And I tell you, I said, thank God this morning for a man of God or a preacher that's not scared to get their hands dirty in the work of the Lord. I appreciated what the man of God said last night. Amen. If you wouldn't hear, you had to go back and listen to it. But talk about getting his hands dirty and getting involved. I missed that memo, but thank God. Amen. The Lord helped us nonetheless. And I say bless his name, but God is our refuge. Paul was willing. He wasn't willing. I mean, he was willing to get his hands dirty. And what do you say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Then he's over there and he's putting wood on the fire and a viper comes out and hangs on his hand. Fastens on him. And this is it right here. This is just real simple. I'm telling you one thing, neighbor. Problems, because you have one trouble, won't exempt you from two. And because you have two, it will not exempt you from three. And because you have three problems, that won't exempt you from four. But I do have an announcement to make this morning. Thank God out of Psalm 46, God is our refuge. And thank God He is our strength. Hallelujah. Bless His good name. Well, there's the explanation for the word refuge. And this is it. That which shelters. Listen to this. That's pretty good. This second part really helped me the other day. Well, it's been a while back. That which shelters or protects from danger, distress, or calamity. A stronghold. Listen to this. Now, boy, this is good stuff right here. A stronghold which protects by its strength. Boy, if I could piggyback off that song, that Isaiah 40. That protects by its strength. Man, Brother Bryant, looks like we're in pretty good hands. The everlasting arms are underneath us. Thank God this morning. Hallelujah. Bless His good name. Amen. A stronghold which protects by its strength. Any place inaccessible by the enemy. I thought about it when I was looking at these verses and just pondering on it. I said, man, it's inaccessible by the enemy, by the adversary, by a foe. We're talking about a refuge, and I couldn't help. My mind went back to when Jesus was speaking on the sermon on the hillside, and He was talking there about prayer, and He said, when you enter into your closet, He said, shut the door. Hey, thank God, we have a refuge this morning, and the door can be shut, and we can get alone with God and get some help done in our heart. Hallelujah. That's the explanation of the word refuge. Our Bible's full of examples. Brother Gravely, time would not permit me this morning to talk about the examples of God being a refuge. The psalmist said, God is our. Now listen to me. And I want to park right here just for a moment. We can look back and we say, man, God was a refuge and a strength in the life of Joseph. Potiphar's wife's doing everything she can to throw herself at him. But the Lord was with him. God was always with him. God was constantly helping Joseph. And you know what Joseph found in God? He found a refuge. But he didn't only find a refuge, he was able to say no. And therefore, he found a strength. He found a refuge and he found a strength. So we don't know exactly who the writer is of Psalm 46. Some speculate that it could have been Hezekiah and it could have fell from his pen or been inspired by the invasion of Sennacherib and the Assyrians. And when they prayed, you remember how he took the letter and he laid it out before the Lord and prayed over it. And God went over there and tugged on the man of God's heart and said, go back and give him a message and tell him I'm going to take care of everything in a nutshell. And I'm telling you, friend, it was there that God slew 185,000 Assyrians that night in one night all by Himself. Hallelujah. God is our refuge and our strength. We see example after example after example throughout the Scripture. But as you listen to me this morning, I appreciate these men of God watching over us. Hallelujah. I want to tell you this morning, neighbor, when we look at these verses, God is
our refuge. If there's anything I could convey to you before we go eat lunch today, is this one truth. Nobody has a monopoly on God. Nobody. Brother Bryant, when I was looking at these verses, and I got to looking at that word our, preacher, just like it just come off, I ain't mystic or nothing, but it's just like it come off the page. See, sometimes I'm afraid we forget what God told James to pin down. And God told James, James pinned it off, confess your faults one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man. Son, you can stop right there and soak that in. Sometimes we read the scripture and we read from Old Testament into the New, and I think we forget they were humans. Brother Heffington said it. I mean, I'm relatable to Peter, and Dr. Siler said one time, he's talking about Judas. He said, I find more in common. He was being, it's a statement of humility about himself being in comparison to him and different ones. But can I tell you, Elias was a man. He was just a man. I know fire come down from heaven. I know how God helped him down by the brook, down by the barrel. Thank God God helped him at Mount Carmel. But Elias was a man. Subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly, it might not rain. It rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, the heaven gave rain. That's where it's got to come from. There won't ever be no increase till it comes from heaven. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. The heaven gave rain. The earth brought forth her fruit. But can I submit to you this morning before I wrap it up here in just a minute? Because I want to be conscious of the time, and I want to be conscious of everything that's going on around us. And I tell you, these men are priests and they have to our heart. But I want to say this. Elias was a man subject like passions as we are. Sometimes we will sit down and read a Bible and we'll say, boy, God done it for her. And God done it for him. And God done it for them. But for some reason, we get hung up on this thing, wondering whether or not God can do it for me. Whether or not God can do it for me. Well, God give them a song. Some of you may be praying about writing a song. You ought to pray about that. Praise God, we'd all right if we had some new good ones. We don't need none of them 7-Elevens. Amen. Somebody help me out right there. Some of his contemporary. Now, we need some good ones. I mean, it's rich in doctrine. That's, I like the old hymns, brother. It's hard to beat an old hymn. Rich in doctrine, strong in substance. Thank God, meat, praise God for God's children, hallelujah. But if God give Fanny Crosby a song or two and then give her more than one or two, he'd give you songs. He could give you a poem. He could give you whatever. I mean, let God use your life. If God done it for them, why are we so convinced that just because it's 2024 that God just closed up shop and went home? We still have revival meetings at Mount Zion. You know why we have them? Because we're still praying that God will send us revival. You say, what about a nation? I don't know nothing about a nationwide, but I know, thank God, if we can get one in our church, there's two or three people, get them in their heart, praise God, it'll make a difference in somebody's life toward eternity. And I'm telling you, one soul is worth more than the entire world. One soul. The examples of refuge, Joseph, Hezekiah, Esther. God raised her up for such a time as this. Somebody said, boy, I'd have fit in better if I'd been born about 1920. I don't know about that. You may not like 1920 too good. Amen. You may not like going out, amen, at night to do what you need to do. Is anybody listening to me out of the moonlight? You may not like going down the creek to get your water and warming up on a wood-burning stove. And harnessing up the mules and plowing the garden. You may not like 1910, 1920 too much. But God raised us up for such a time as this to make a difference. You say, Brother Andy, can a man make a difference? Listen, Jude's writing, and I tell you, there's all types of problems. Jude said, I'm writing. I want to talk to you about this, the blessings of salvation and how to earnestly contend for the salvation that was once delivered unto the saints. He said, but I'm finding it more needful to write to you about all this apostasy, about all this wrong. But thank God, he gave us hope at the end of that little short epistle. And he said, and of some having compassion, making a difference. Thank God. You can still make a difference in somebody's life. I thought about Dr. Jones. Brother Bryant met me yesterday. We was talking about Brother Jones. Brother James getting on down the road a little piece, but he's pumping them books out left and right. He may come out. I thought about Dr. Blue when God gave him that radio ministry preacher where he is at in his life. Further down the road. Anna's further down the road. And she's fasting and praying in the temple. God's using her. What about old Caleb? He's further down the road. One of the best members I ever pastored at Mount Zion Baptist Church. Brother David Irvin was into his 70s, and we have Faith Bible Institute there. It's a Bible program that we do. It's a 3-year course. And Brother Irvin come to me one time. He said, Brother Andy, any preacher, and Brother Irvin was a preacher. He said, but he was going blind and had a lot of health issues. But he said, any preacher wants to take Faith Bible Institute, he said, tell them I'll pay for it. Every time Brother Brian or Brother Jones or one of these men come through and set up a book table, Brother Irvin pulled me aside and he said, now listen, Brother Andy. He said, my ministry's run. I'm done. I'm pretty much finished for the most part till Jesus calls me home. I can't do what I used to do. He said, if any of them young preachers want a book, I'll buy a book. I'll buy every book they need. You just tell them to go pick them out and come by and tell me what they owe and I'll take care of it. Brother, he's one of the best men I ever pastored in my life. A bright spot. You know what he's doing at Mount Zion Baptist Church? He's making a difference. My grandmother, my wife's grandmother, she wasn't a preacher, Brother Bryant, but she made a difference in me. I'd watch Sister Janie and how she lived, and I mean, you couldn't, I never heard her say one thing negative about anybody. Ever. And my wife could stand and testify tonight to the same truth and know her way better than I did. My wife said it was unbelievable, Brother Gravely, how many times when they lived beside each other and she would go over there to visit her grandmother and she'd come in and it'd be kind of still in the house and she'd come around a corner in the living room and there'd be Sister Janie down on the couch or the sofa praying, talking to God. I'm talking about a lady, listen, and I know what I'm talking about, spent hours in prayer every day. Every day. Everybody in the community call and say, Sister Johnny, we got a prayer request. Can you know, and leaving those prayer requests. What was she doing? She was making a difference. She'd found God to be a refuge. Man, she didn't get to that place with glassy seas and flowery beds of ease. Son, I tell you, she knew what tragedy was. But she had this one thing this morning that we all share. God, if you're saved by the grace of God, God is our refuge and strength. He's not only a hiding place. Thank God. Hey, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Better put on that whole armor of God. Amen. God is our refuge. We have plenty of examples in the Bible. Esther raised up for such a time as this. Hebrew children. David, fleeing from Saul. Well, over and over throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, we find God as a refuge. What are you going to do with Paul when they let him down by the walls? I mean, that, what are you going to do with that crowd that said, man, we're not going to eat till we kill Paul? I wonder how they fared with that. Yeah. Hey, man. I wonder how them fellas, I wonder if they reneged on that foolish vow. We're not going to eat till we get him to make sure he's in the graveyard. God is our refuge and strength. The examples of refuge. The experiences of His refuge. I don't know whoever this writer is. I would probably lean, it could be. I mean, it could be very well easily. It could be easily seen that this was inspired from the acts that took place in the days of good King Hezekiah. God is our refuge and strength. I don't know who this writer is, but they're looking at their life and they're recalling and they're remembering where God has reached out time and time and time again and helped them and done what looks like is the impossible. You do understand this morning that over in Genesis 18, the question was asked. It's my favorite verse, brother. Amen, I love it. I mean, if you ask me to sign your Bible, you probably won't. But if you ask me to sign your Bible, that's what I'm going to sign it. Genesis 18, 14. Is anything too hard? Boy, that preacher, that first man of God, what was his name, Brother Owens? Son, he's a shuck in the corn, wasn't he?
Man, I tell you what he done this morning. He lifted God up high in front of us. He lifted up God high in front of us. God is our refuge. And not only that, he's our strength. Got plenty of examples. We've learned by experience. Thank God it's been explained. That which shelters or protects from danger. See him, man. Distress or calamity. Stronghold which protects. I love this. A stronghold which protects by its strength. How are you going to get in on God? No one of the writers said my times are in thy hand. I'm going to read this. I want to give this to you real quickly. Psalm 66. I thought I'd close and Brother Rutledge come on back in, but God, I feel like you're reminding me of this verse of Scripture, and I want to give it to you. It's such a help to me. Psalm 66, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turneth the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There do we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Oh, bless our God, ye people. And make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life. Well, General Jackson made a statement one time. He said, I feel just as safe in battle as I do in bed. This quote helped me a while back, I tell you. Oh, Dr. Sexton, Ralph Sr., he said, his sovereignty is my sanity. His sovereignty is my sanity. Amen. You can pillow your head on that. Come on, preacher. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, if you would, please. If they'll come, and somebody will come to the piano. If you need to come pray, I'd encourage you to come. I don't know where you're at in life. I don't know what all you're going through. I don't know what all you're experiencing. I know that even as I mentioned Paul over in Acts, the book of Acts, he had one trouble after another. And because you have one, don't exempt you from two. And because you have two, does not exempt you from three. But God is our refuge and strength. And he can help you this morning. If you need to come pray and talk to God about anything, you ought to just step out from where you are. Maybe you got a lost child and you're carrying a burden and just don't look like there's ever going to be any help. Don't look like there's ever going to be any hope. You ought to come, pray, talk to God about it. Tell you, we went through something at church one time. Thing never did get resolved. Prayed about it dozens of times. Dozens. I'm telling you the truth, if not hundreds. One Sunday morning, preacher, while we were sitting in Sunday school, another man was teaching. And I felt a heavenly call, a heavenly pull. So come back to your study and talk to me again. And on my way down the hall, on my way between the pews, I thought, Lord, I've done this so many times. And I'm telling you, friend, thank God, when I stepped into my study, when my knee hit the floor, God pulled all the burden off me. Don't know what your burdens are this morning, but you can cast them on him. I must tell Jesus, prayer ought not to be optional. Our burdens ought not to be optional. To not pray about it tells God I'm willing to carry it myself. You don't have to do that. You don't have to carry it this morning. Won't you come give it to Christ? Casting all your care. Not some of them, not those that are convenient. All your care upon him, for he careth for you. Our fathers, we bow in prayer today. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your safety. God, we prayed much for safety. And Lord, we're thankful, God, for your provision.
We're thankful, God, for your mercy, your grace, your goodness. We're thankful, Lord, for your forgiveness. We're thankful, Lord, that you have showed yourself mighty in that right early. Deliverance, God. Lord, we delight in you because of your help. We delight in you, Lord, because who you are. Thank you, dear God, for the day you found us and we found a refuge. And God, if we could find a refuge in salvation, then God, we could find a refuge in sorrow. God, if we found a refuge in salvation, God, we could find a refuge in our suffering. God, if we found a refuge, God, in salvation, God, then we could find a refuge in our struggles. Thank God. Oh, you said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. God, I thank you for that this morning. Oh, God, help us as we look to you, our refuge, our strength. You're not a God that used to be. You're not a God that shall be. The preacher so aptly put it this morning. You're a God that is. We bless your name for being all-powerful, all-knowing and almighty, and always present. Take these thoughts, God, and give increase to them, I pray, for Jesus' sake.